We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's a Thursday edition of OMF with Lou Merlone.
Does it change?
Christian Fourier.
Obviously, Lou, you idiot.
And Glenn Ordway.
Is it Rodion's cure?
After the Nets turn the NBA on its head, where do your Celtics fit in now?
Everybody wants the Celtics to get to the finals this year, but their window is over the next 4 or 5 years.
The Bruins season begins tonight. Where do the Bees fit in with a stacked East Division?
What's up, Boston Bruins?
Now it's time for OMF.
Fourier, what in the eyebrow? I hope you lose, Fourier.
EEI.
Now, the two eyebrows, losing the two eyebrows, you can say that you've got some type of skin disease or something like that, if anybody has.
No, I actually
but
have
if you
the,
lose one,
you are all won, assuming right? that I'm losing,
have you guys
first
put,
of all.
Have you guys put any thoughts into
oh
your
gosh,
picks?
Right. No.
By the way,
I have. I spent some time this morning.
Okay. I have not.
All right. Spent some time this morning.
All right. We have a way I think we can do it too Friday, tomorrow, to make it a little interesting.
What do you mean a way to do it?
Well, we're gonna put him in. I think we're gonna put him in anonymously in before the show starts.
Oh, anonymously, so that nobody knows.
And then at 5:30, we'll do the reveal about
See,
who we actually picked.
Lou and I could gang up on you. We could just
play a little power
yeah,
game.
Yeah, of course. So yeah, and it's not, let's not act like yeah. I'm the only person losing something significant.
No, we can
okay?
all lose.
I'm losing my salad.
You lose
this
your
is like
hair.
God, call, like right. save my salad. This is like a movement.
I would say, though, the salad you could save, you could donate it. There are people that could use it, people that have lost hair, you can donate
this
it.
This hair isn't, it's beautiful, but it's not quite long
it's
enough.
Like
if you're going to sell your hair to Locks of Love, like
I'm going
how
to
much
get
could you get for it?
I'm just going to get,
like
a, I'm going to get a cut. Yeah. I'm going to get a cut soon so I get nice and tight just so
oh,
I can enjoy my next, my last
you gotta
3 weeks.
You got to let it go long. Yeah. You got to let it go long so it actually is a huge difference. Like, you know, some of the, you know, you go into the military, you know, those guys come
you
with those huge
hair. You worry about my hair. You worry about your eyebrow.
Yeah, you worry about your mustache there, Glennie.
So I know I've already told my wife, and she's not real pleased about this. I think Lou's probably told his wife she's not real
nope.
pleased. You, on the other hand, Fourier,
I still
are
haven't.
So confident in what he haven't told her.
I'm going to tweet
no,
it.
No. It has nothing. No, don't say anything.
She doesn't follow him on Twitter.
It's not that I'm confident about winning. It's that I'm just nervous about what she's going to say.
Yeah,
my wife.
So I don't feel like having that conversation.
But if you only take one off, I guess you could get a fake, a falsie, right? Put the other one up there. You could do that, couldn't you? So
you know
could
what?
Have
I'm
a fake
just,
eyebrow
I'm
and a real
just going to own it. That's all I'm going to do.
So
what I have to lose.
But
nothing.
I do. I do have. And the games are tough this weekend, wouldn't you say? They're really difficult to pick this weekend.
That's why, because they're all good.
Yeah, the numbers are the killer.
Nobody
though.
Has, there's not, I would say, I don't know what the biggest line is, but I'm assuming, just guessing, I haven't even looked at it yet. Maybe you can tell me, Tyler, I'm not even sure.
Ten
the
is
biggest
line? 10.
Okay, well, hold on. Well, I'm going to say what team it is. So if 10's the biggest line, I'm going to say that's going to be Rams, Green Bay.
That would not be true.
Really?
It's Kansas City and Cleveland. So you haven't studied any of this yet. No. Just going
Zero.
You know what? You got just as good a shot as anybody. Just as good. I love everyone's like, ah, you know, it's such an easy pick. You know when they're easy? When they win. Okay, you know? Yeah. Oh, the Saints was such an easy pick. Oh, my God. Yeah, I know. And in Buffalo, I'm sure it was an easy pick, too, right? Yeah, you had Buffalo
easily,
right?
I should do what Keith does. Like, Keith has his daughter make his picks. I feel like I should have... You know, like maybe my dog or like, you know, one of my girls do it. Like just you know what, just to show you guys that it takes absolutely no skill whatsoever.
Well, I tell you, my kid's rooting against me. So if I go to him, he might just take the team he thinks is going to lose, which, again, you got a pretty good shot with that, too.
And we used to have a chicken do it years ago, and the chicken actually had a better record than we did. I don't know. Does Keith's daughter have a better record than him?
I think she's ahead of the game, above 500.
All right, we'll get to a lot of football, and we'll get to some of the playoff games coming up this weekend. And Tom Brady with Drew Brees should be a great game with terrific ratings. And we'll get to the Bruins today because they kick off the season tonight. But we start with the James Harden trade because I've never seen a deal where more people are going out of their minds of this trade. So 24 hours later, do you feel any differently than you felt yesterday about this?
I think I do. And the one reason why I do is because when you really examine, because I know we talked about it before, and like, oh my God, you know, four first-round picks and four pick swaps and what they gave up to get James Harden. Now, forget about the debate whether it's going to work or not or Harden's worth it. As far as what they gave up, you know, I looked at the Nets swap. That's the first swap, I believe, is 2021. Is that worth anything? The 2022 Nets and Bucks first-round picks, what are those worth? So in the NBA, is there anything, as far as value goes in the draft, when you look at second-round draft picks, in the NBA?
Nothing.
What is a late first-round, I should say? A late first-round pick.
Like now, listen, early second round
you might be able to find yourself a Peyton Pritchard. Okay, I get it. Yeah. But what is 25 to 28? Like, what are those picks?
Well, Pritchard was pretty good.
How many years?
Yeah. Rob Williams was an end of the first round draft pick.
All right,
too,
but
right?
When you say like four firsts in football, I mean, you just replenished. You have a very good chance of finding three good starters and maybe even two Pro Bowls, whatever, right?
10-year players.
Yeah, the odds are just better. So late first round picks, I mean, at what point, what year do these picks start getting interesting for the Houston Rockets?
So
2024, last three of them?
Yeah, the last two or three of them, yes.
See, I don't know. The last two or three. So I think it's arguably,
who knows? It might not be none of them if these guys stay.
Well, I don't think any of them are going to stay. Because nobody stays anymore. They're all mercenaries now, so it doesn't matter. We're not talking about Klay Thompson and, you know,
so
and
you
think
Steph
Curry.
2 years it's over?
I think they have 2 years. I think that 2023, obviously Houston is banking on the fact that the Nets are going to suck. That they're going to suck eventually. And I'll give them, they get 2 years with these three guys. Two. I don't even know if they'll make it through the first year based on just the psychotic personalities and the selfishness that exists with the three of them. I mean, God forbid that, you know, what happens when there's, you know, 2 seconds left on the clock, who's taking the shot? So, no, I think it makes big time sense because you look at it, it's 23, it's 24. And even if you say no, Fourier, not 23, okay.
I say no, Fourier.
I'll say 24, 25, 26. So, I mean, I'll take all those later years. But I do think you have a really good opportunity.
But see,
for 2023, the Nets sucking.
Of course they could leave, right?
Nash gone.
This is not the deal you did with the Nets. The way you can really look at it and say, man, they're really grasping at the last year of Paul Pierce or Kevin Garnett. Like the last year, maybe two. Like they're just getting older. These guys, you're right, they may leave. But I don't know, Durant might sit there in 2 years. Maybe they move on from Kyrie. And Durant likes it, and he brings in another player. Or maybe he and Harden work out, and Kyrie's the guy that's gone. But if one of them stays, if just one of them stays, like, and they're just okay, and I find that hard to believe if a guy like Durant ends up sticking around. But if they stick around, they're in their primes. You know, it's not KG and Pierce, who have a year left, maybe two tops. And even then, they're not great players. These guys are still great players that they could very easily... They could stick around for 5 or 6 years together.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
Whereas there's no way in hell Pierce and Garnett were going to do anything.
Tell me where that doesn't happen with LeBron. The longest he stayed was in Miami.
Yeah, but you
it's
know what?
Happening.
When you're looking at the deal, and I don't want to get right now to whether they can win it or not. We'll get to that in a few minutes. I want to get to what Lou was talking about with the draft picks. And a lot of people are sitting there saying, oh, my God, Brooklyn just gave up the next 10 years. Well, wait a minute. They were saying the exact same thing when Brooklyn did that deal with the Boston Celtics.
Yep.
And yet they were able to go out and get two high free agent guys to go to Brooklyn.
And somehow still draft pretty good.
Correct. So my guess
with
is...
nothing.
Right. My guess is that Brooklyn feels like they're a magnet. They're an attraction for those free agents. So big
because
freaking
they're
deal.
In Brooklyn.
Right.
Hit Brooklyn.
Yep. Yep. So big freaking deal. A lot of players come
Jay-Z
from
Jay-Z,
you'll see
Courtside.
Right. Exactly. There
Beyonce.
You go. Now you're talking about the attraction there. They're looking at it saying, screw the draft picks. We don't need the draft picks. We've already proven. We gave up all the draft picks to Boston, and look at where we are. We're right back into this thing.
Yeah, but the
Two
reason,
years, 3 years, so now we can do the same thing all over again.
Okay, so Kyrie was a free agent, right?
Yes.
Kevin Durant, free agent.
Correct.
Harden was a trade.
Yeah.
Right.
Harden was a trade. And think about what you had to give up to get him in that trade.
But so I just told you, does it make
much
difference?
I do think that best case scenario, I think you could get two. I think you could somehow convince two guys. But after that, good luck.
But here's the thing. Okay,
it's not good luck. They've already proven that.
But Christian, you're telling me.
Show me when you've gotten three free agents all to go to one team and top 10 players.
You can get two.
Yeah. Okay. So two players.
Two.
You're talking about
it's not enough.
You're talking about the Nets maybe keeping two of these guys. Is that what you're talking about?
I'm saying that the odds are that I would say that the shelf life, and I'm being optimistic here with these three together. Okay, or one, two out of the three, 3 years tops. 3 years. Now listen, James Harden, great player. What do you think James Harden's mental state is going to be in 3 years?
I don't know.
Kevin Durant is as unpredictable as anybody.
Yeah, but you go
okay,
get new
Okay, and Kyrie
bodies.
Irving
you go get new guys
is already.
Here.
Okay, listen.
They're doing
that
the same
is
thing
fine.
The Lakers just did.
That is, but how long did it take the Lakers to actually hit on it? Okay, they've been trying to do it for years since Kobe retired.
Yeah, but the key
they finally
franchises.
Did it. Why? Because LeBron James decided to
so
come.
So that's the question I have. Is Brooklyn one of those magnets that can bring the high-priced free agents? Forget about three of them. L.A. got two of them, all right? And they won last year. And they're probably the favorite to win this year. They got it with two of the best players in the game. Can Brooklyn do that and say, screw the draft picks? Lou might be right. Those draft picks might be irrelevant. They've already proven that they're further ahead with superstars than Boston is.
My point is that to me, Kevin Durant is the key to all this, right? He's the best player.
Absolutely.
So
he's the most stable player.
If things
too,
don't work out in the next year or two and they move on from Kyrie Irving, you don't think Kevin Durant is going to draw the next young thing, the next guy to replace a Kyrie Irving? Like, you know, if Harden doesn't stick and Durant really likes it there and wants to stay, you don't think he goes out and recruits another guy or two?
Hold on. What if somebody else recruits him and says, hey, come to Philly. Hey, come to Miami. I mean, come to L.A.
I say Durant's the
good
key.
Good luck. Good luck. It ain't going to happen. I bet the other eyebrow. Again, I only have two. So I gotta stop
betting. You already bet the second one yesterday.
I know, I
you
did.
Don't have the third one. You can't go there.
Losing.
I just think they've already. I think Brooklyn's already proven it in the deal they did with Boston. Everybody said what they're saying yesterday, 3-4 years ago, 5 years ago, whenever the hell it was, and they were sitting there going, "Brooklyn's going to be dead at the other end of this." Well, they weren't dead at the other end of it. Why? Because they are one of those franchises that can attract the big name free agents. So this big three right now: Durant, Kyrie, Harden. How does it hold up? Only one guy here of the three is stable, and I hate to say it, but LeBron has suddenly become lovable in his super team out there in L.A., and this is the hated team right now in Brooklyn. We'll break it down, get to your phone calls as well, and get to the Celtics' interest in Harden as well, right here on OMF.
Ordway, Merlone, Fourier, back to OMF on EEI.
Before we go to break real quick, this is from Adrian Wojnarowski, reporting with Ramona Shelburne. Brooklyn is acquiring Houston's James Harden in a blockbuster deal, sources tell ESPN.
I will bet my other eyebrow. I will shave the other eyebrow.
If
if they win, if they go to the NBA Finals.
I just became a Nets fan.
This is the most polarizing team in NBA history. Think about it. On the same team, we got burner accounts, honey buns, and the earth is flat.
It's just factual that James Harden is a better scorer than Michael Jordan.
You can't tell me a last NBA championship team in the last 5 years that wasn't top five defensively. And I'm looking at this roster, and I'm saying, who in the hell is going to guard?
This is the new villain of the NBA.
Wow. I love it. So
good
true.
Good point by Perk, by
excellent
the way.
Point.
Yep.
Very Who's good playing point. Defense?
Yeah, the one thing, well, Durant will play
Durant.
Defense.
Okay,
he'll play
great.
Defense.
Harden?
Yeah, Perk is wrong about that. Durant
Irving.
Is good defense.
Okay,
so
one out of the three.
Kyrie, every once in a while.
We'll get the defender in the buyout.
You're out
Never.
Of your mind.
Never.
You're out of your mind.
See, that's, and we'll get to that
they
in a
second.
They
got Jeff Green, don't they?
Yeah, they do have Jeff Green.
Yeah, he's a defender.
You know, I love this. You know, this away. Big three. This big three is really, it's like a thing now. You know, and I was just looking at, like, you know, past big threes and, you know, how they rank and, you know, and more importantly, where would the Celtics line up if you were to say, here are our big three? So you look at, you
Who
know.
Who says you need three, by the way?
Well, Lou and I
Why
were just talking about it.
And, Lakers and a lot of other really.
We were just talking about it, Glenn, and I was like, who are the Lakers' big three?
The
like,
right.
I know the big two,
well,
but who's the third?
I said that already on the show today before you were listening. And they only have two guys. They only have two guys.
But
and
normally, yet, it's,
favorite.
Normally, historically, it's three. Okay, I guess there's one outlier. But historically, you know, once Garnett and Pierce and Allen started this thing.
Okay, 2 years ago, Toronto won, and they had two. And one of them, I don't think anybody when the playoffs began thought that Kyle Lowry was going to be an exceptional player, but he was in the playoffs, and he and Kawhi Leonard were a twosome. There was no three really with that.
Well, but game. I'm talking about your you know your generics, your Durant,
yeah,
your Kyrie, and your Harden. That's the first one. Yeah, Durant, Curry, and Thompson for Golden State. LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love
Shaq
at Cleveland.
And Kobe.
LeBron, Wade, and Bosch. I know, but since then, I mean, so if we're looking at the Celtics, then okay, you have Jalen and you have Tatum.
Kemba.
Now fill in the blank.
It's Kemba.
Yeah, but even the Golden State Warriors, Durant obviously top player, Curry top player, top 10 player. I'm not putting Klay Thompson in the top 10 in that league.
Well, you wouldn't include him.
No, he's
as
a big three.
Is a big three? Well, I mean, would you put Bosch? When Bosch was part of the big three,
yeah, but
would
Thompson
you put
is
Kevin
probably
Love?
At the same. Thompson's probably at the same level, different type of player, but the same level you would put Kemba Walker if you were looking at the Celtics roster and saying Tatum and Brown are one and two, and they can
See,
be, and certainly
yeah, no
they
one's
look
putting,
like they're
no
emerging
putting,
as top players.
Nobody's putting three top 10 players together. I mean, even this threesome right here, Durant and Harden. I mean, Harden's what, 6'5", 6'7", whatever it is. You don't like his game, so be it, whatever. Kyrie's the one that's left out of it. Kyrie's not a top 10 player.
Yeah, I will say this. If you look at...
There hasn't really been any, really, that's been top three, up top 10, three top 10s. Yeah. Usually you have a top five,
okay.
maybe
here's
two
the,
of
here,
them, or two top 10s, and you
here's
go from
the
there.
Difference. Here's the difference. And if you look at Golden State, you've got to include Draymond Green as part of that equation because he was
no.
So wait
no,
a
no,
minute.
Just three.
He is
just
part
three.
Of it.
No, you can only have three.
Okay, I'm not going along with the rules.
Games.
I'm going
know,
against
but,
the rules.
No, but you can sit
Shave
there.
Shave off
and
another
you can,
eyebrow.
You can
I'm
add,
not going on.
You can add role. If the goal is to go three plus
That's
a role
Thompson
player.
Is. That's what Thompson is.
No, not
so
in this
to me.
Not, really, you were saying when Durant decided to go play for the Golden State Warriors. The big three were Clay,
yeah,
Steph, and Durant. And, of course, we'll throw Iguodala in there also then.
Here's the difference.
Plus
Christian.
Two role players.
Here's the difference. The Lakers have a much better situation because they have two of the top five players in the league. Durant is one of those players when healthy. Harden is just outside the top five, and Kyrie is somewhere, I don't know, depending on whether his head's set on straight, somewhere with a 12 to 18 or something like that.
Yeah.
I can go back to Allen, Pierce, and Garnett. Allen had to take a
but
huge
I'm just going
sacrifice
like,
in
I mean,
his game. He wasn't top
Perk
20
brings up,
player.
Perk brings up a very good point because, you know, when you look at that Golden State, like to me, I look at Draymond Green, like you then if you're going to include a guy like that, you include Marcus Smart, right? Because it's
sure.
like that's similar, whatever. But that big three, you know, of Durant, Curry, Thompson, and you want to throw in a guy like Draymond.
Plus one.
Those guys play defense. Maybe not Steph, but Klay Thompson,
yeah.
Draymond,
Excellent.
And Durant.
excellent defense.
Like, you know, your right. four best players, like three of them are outstanding defenders. Very good defenders when they want to be, right? This group here, Kyrie and Harden. The most polarizing team in the league just got more interesting because it's like, we can't wait to see how this thing, if Kyrie ever comes back, how this is going to work.
I look at it as, okay, how is this going to work? Because I don't think it is going to work. One, the defensive aspect of it. And then two, just the unbelievable amount of unselfishness and sacrifice that needs to exist. Okay, pecking order for the Brooklyn Nets. Durant, number one.
Yes.
Who's two?
Harden.
Really? I mean, I agree with you, but yeah. What do you think Kyrie has to say about that?
I think Kyrie's got the kind of ego that he can take a step back and allow others to lead.
Yeah. See, I mean, to me, that's my problem. Kyrie, see, and when you look here. At... So wait, hold on. When you look at all
just
these...
Just sit back and enjoy the beauty of the game. It's the art. It's art.
When you look at these big three, there's always one guy that kind of, concedes, and he plays more of a role player. He doesn't... He's not, he's not the top dog. He's part of the equation, but even with LeBron, Kyrie, and Love, like Kevin Love was that guy. He was like, all right, I'll take a back seat. Bosch was that guy in Miami.
Ray Allen was that guy here.
So, and you look at Durant, Kyrie, if you look at Durant, Thompson, and Clay was probably that guy.
All right, so I have a bigger problem with this whole thing because I think we all agree that if you take KD and you take James Harden, you're dealing with two of the top players. You can say Harden might be 6, 7, 8, whatever, in the game. And that's part of the formula, I believe, in winning an NBA championship. They're in the mix. There's no question about it.
So you think this team should win it?
I think they're in the mix, and they should be. They're absolutely a contender. I think there's flaws, though, and this is where Sean Marks comes in to the equation. He's got to find some people. Because if you look at it, DeAndre Jordan, if you play him more than 26 minutes a game, his tongue is going to be hanging out. Well, and by the way, where's his defense?
The difference is that, usually when teams like this are put together, it's usually it's kind of in the off season, and like you mentioned, the GM can go out there and sort of piecemeal the rest of it together. This thing's happening like 10 games into the season. So now he looks at his roster, and they're still three bodies short, correct?
Yeah, they gave up all the players that were complementing two big guys they had.
So now he's got to, in season, sort of put the rest of this team together. I still think talent-wise, they should be the favorite in the East. I mean, I don't think there's any question.
They have the
talent-wise,
most talent.
They should be. I was wondering why they weren't the favorites in the East before Harden.
I would say this, Lou. They could end up being a 6th or 7th seed, and still you're going to fear them in the playoffs, right? Because of the talent.
Yeah, the regular
level.
Season could be
because
a little bit of a mess.
Score.
Harden's got to get in shape.
Three of the best scorers in the NBA. So I hear you. I get it. But I look at these situations and people think, oh, just throw a bunch of skilled basketball players out there and they'll figure it out.
Well, they usually do.
No. Just went over it yesterday. They never do it the first year. Never. Like, just follow LeBron James. Follow his path and see how it worked for him. It took time to kind of gel. Listen, if you get the right personalities, yeah, you probably got a better chance. And even LeBron's first year in L.A., I mean, look, he was hurt. He even finished the year.
I'm saying, what about Anthony Davis's first year in L.A.? Did that take a year?
Well, LeBron was already there.
Right.
LeBron was already there, so it had already been established how they were going to work. And Davis was only one guy. We already said it was only two guys, not three. All right, so I think it's a little bit easier.
So let's look at that.
It was a
LeBron.
COVID year.
Let's look at Anthony Davis. Would you say they're two totally different players?
Yes.
Totally different players. Skill set, position, everything, okay? So what do you have here? You have three similar players. You have ball-hungry players, even more so with Harden than Kyrie Irving, if there is one, because Harden holds onto the ball far more than anybody in that freaking league. That's why he gets to the free throw line so often, because the shot clock is down to zero. He's got to take it to the hole.
Who takes the last shot?
And then you've got Kevin Durant. Who's most likely to defer their game? It's going to be Durant, and he's the best of the three. He's the last guy that should be deferring his game.
That's an excellent point because...
It has to be Kyrie.
No. See, but he's got a good point, though, because the guy who is the leader has to be able to sacrifice his own game for the betterment of the team. I mean, that to me is like... That's when you start talking into like real leadership. Like, I know I can take it, but what's best for the team is for me to do X, Y, and Z, sacrifice, give it to him. You know what I mean? Like, there needs to be, because is Harden going to do it? like, we all kind of agree that Kyrie is nowhere near that. Like, he's completely off his rocker right now. I wouldn't count on him for anything.
Talking about Sean Marks said he's all excited about coming and rejoining the team.
Of course he is. Maybe that's what he was doing. He was holding out.
But he is the one that has to take a step back.
Durant.
I think Kyrie.
Kyrie.
I'm not saying he's capable of it.
I don't think you see. That's the point. I mean, he is.
He's got to be a distributor.
Listen, he's got Kevin Durant is, you know, arguably the best player in the league. I know you could talk about, you know, LeBron obviously too, but I'm just saying, like, scoring wise, just he does everything. Harden's a scorer. Harden's one of the best scorers in the NBA. So Kyrie's got to sit there and be the facilitator. He does. I'm not saying he's not going to score, you know, he's not going to score 8 points a game, but I'm just saying he's the one that has to take a step back. He's number three in this equation.
Here's the problem, though. James Harden, if you notice, is the point guard, whatever team he's on. He's the point guard. He's handling the ball all the time. He's the guy bringing the ball up the floor. So that's Kyrie's job. That's what he likes to do. And give it up. He'll give it up. I think the problem is they're going to have to figure out what the roles are. And we're dealing with personalities that are a little bit out there. Good luck to all of this. I think they're in the mix because they're the most talented team in the East. And you could say those three guys are as talented as any top three on any team in the league. But the job is to win the whole thing. And to win it, as you said, Christian, in a short little window here of 2 years. They need to win it this year or next year. Good luck. I think that might be a little bit more difficult. So the Celtics apparently were in on Harden. What happened? We'll get to it, and we'll get to your phone calls. Are you happy, if you're a green teamer, that your Boston Celtics did not get James Harden? We'll get to the phone calls as well and your reaction at 617-779-7937.
This is WEEI. Get social. Facebook.com/WEEI and WEEI Sports on Instagram. Now more of OMF on EEI.
Under no circumstances, if you're Boston, do you make any kind of offer that includes Jaylen Brown? And that was really the Celtics' mindset for the last couple of months. There was no significant interest in a deal that involved Jaylen Brown. The Celtics are simply operating on a completely different timetable than the Brooklyn Nets. Their stars are Kevin Durant at 32 and Kyrie Irving at 29. You've got the Celtics with Smart, Tatum, Brown, a whole bunch of younger guys that are trying to develop in their mid to early 20s. You know, everybody wants the Celtics to get to the finals this year, but their window is over the next 4 or 5 years, whereas the Nets might just be 2 or 3 years right now.
Chris Mannix, early edition, NBC Sports Boston last night, and I agree with him. Celtics' mindset right now is, we've got an extended window. Let's develop. Maybe we'll add a body here or there. And then we're in the mix, but maybe this year is not our year. I'm not sure I agree with him when he says that Jaylen Brown was not going to be offered. And he's talking about the last couple of months. I heard Danny Ainge, he did his paid interview across the street. And in it, he admitted that the Celtics were in on James Harden, but not here recently. And I'm guessing at this, but wouldn't you think, guys, that they looked at it and said, if we get James Harden and we give up Jaylen Brown, we accelerate the opportunity we have to be a championship contender. And then they watched Jaylen Brown for the first 9 games this season and said, forget about it. We're good.
Oh, change your mind.
Yep, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah, that's why, you know, you start looking at, you know, listen, their big three is now two plus who? And it's got to Kemba, yes. You know, Smart.
Pritchard?
No, it's really 2.5.
Maybe pushing it a little too.
I actually am not surprised by that.
No, I mean, listen, Kemba's the other guy. Kemba's an all-star. Right?
Yes.
He's your
yes.
third guy.
Yes.
But, yeah, and I agree with what Mannix was saying. To me, it's all about, like, timing, you know, and just in an organization. Like, are you ready to make this kind of move? We talked about the Patriots. Are you ready to dive in and go for Dak Prescott, right? Like Fitzy says. No, your roster's not ready for it. Like, is the timeline ready for this Boston Celtics team right now to bring in James Harden? Does he put them over the top, you know, for a guy like Jaylen Brown? I don't think he does. Now, for the Nets, okay. Like you said, it's you got a window here. You got those guys are older. Kevin Durant is what he is. Kyrie is what he is if he can ever show up. So, you know, there's more urgency for the Brooklyn Nets to sit there and say, why would we pass up James Harden? But for the Boston Celtics, I don't think they're ready for that. Like, so just in the timeline as far as when they're ready to compete.
So we all agree Jaylen Brown is getting better and better. He's moving up the ladder here of the NBA's best players. He's not as good as Harden right now. Harden's getting $43 million. You have Jaylen Brown for 4 years. They have Harden for two. You have him for 4 years at 23, 25, 27, and $29
million. Right.
That's a good deal. That is a really team-friendly deal of Jaylen Brown.
And it's not that you think, like, you know, I don't think Jaylen Brown's ever going to be James Harden.
No.
I don't think he's ever going to be an MVP candidate. But it's just more about where this team is. That's all. And I don't want to give up on the path that they're going down now with Jaylen and Tatum to have a two-year run with James Harden. It's just not worth it for this team right now. They're not ready.
When I look at it, when I think about it, I just go back and I look at just, you know, the other big threes. And I keep looking at that because really that's a path. That's what it takes. Like, that is what it takes. And if you have two top five players, well, you know what? Then you got a good chance. But when Danny H says, like, hey, we're not there yet, we can't win a championship, like, I believe him. All you have to do is just line up your roster against their roster. Like, if you were going to take the Brooklyn Nets and say, okay, who's going to win, you would say the Brooklyn Nets. But I think there's some dysfunction that's going to come out of that is going to inhibit them, that's going to delay their growth, and they're probably not this year. Next year, I'd say put him in the mix if all three are still there.
Listen, I think if you had James Harden here and you had him here with Tatum and no Jaylen Brown, there'd be some questions again about having two ball dominant players. Jaylen Brown is that one guy that can defer, he can rebound, he can obviously defend. And suddenly you're now getting rid of him. And you're getting rid of Marcus Smart, who's your other defensive player. He would have had to be part of that package. And now we're going with ball-dominant offensive players. And maybe not enough of them. All right, let's get to the phone calls and get your reaction. If you're a Celtic fan, are you pleased that the Celtics, they're going with the kids? Are you pleased? Here's Tim. Tim's in Attleboro. First up today on OMF. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm just going to throw two things at you. One thing is about this, and then one thing about the L.A. Rams and the spread. No, I don't want James Harden. He's got to be a heavy 20, 25 pounds overweight. And like you said, Big O, you know, he's a facilitator everywhere he's been. And like Kyrie, I don't know how long Steve Nash is, three-time MVP, and Kyrie seems to, like, not like him at all. And is he going to let James Harden be the coach when James Harden's just going to, like you say, he facilitates the ball, he shoots the majority of the time from the top of the key? And then what I wanted to say about the Rams, I think Tony Romo and Jim Nance had the worst game I ever heard them call. They didn't see the double clutch on the Tampa Bay thing when Brady was going unbelievable.
Because they weren't together.
And when Aaron Donald... Huh?
They weren't together.
What was that?
They weren't together.
Oh, they...
Romo did it from his home.
Okay, they weren't
because
together.
Because of COVID, Tony Romo did it at home. I agree with you. I thought they were terrible. But the reason they
not
were so
bad
is they weren't in the same room.
Good God. Tirico and Dungy were the worst.
Man, Dungy was just
terrible.
That was
pathetic.
Well, Dungy kept on repeating himself over.
They were just different. You could tell they were just far apart. Like the Romo one, it wasn't typical. It wasn't like, you know, it was still a lot better than that other game. God, that was awful.
Lou, yeah, I don't think Nance was the problem. I think Romo was the problem. He didn't know when to come in, when not to come in, and you know, he was in a foreign place, and it made it uncomfortable for him. What's that?
It's unclear to me, Lou. Is Tony Dungy a fan of Taylor Heinicke or no? I couldn't really tell.
He likes him.
I don't know if you guys knew if he's impressed by him or not, or that if Todd Bowles does what Todd Bowles does, but Heinicke,
I
don't know what to tell you. I can't tell you how impressed I am.
He did say one thing, Tony Dungy, that I was shocked at. Did you guys hear it? Because for years, he has argued that Peyton Manning is the man. He called Tom Brady the GOAT.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's only because he trashed him earlier in the week.
Squirrel! Makeup. Yeah. Roy's in Boston. Hey, Roy.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Roy?
But no, I just wanted to say that I think at the end of the day, if you have all three guys on the court, history just shows that the big three just at some point just wins. And I think at some point they will win if all three are on the court. You know, when you put yourself in a 7-game series and you have three of the four best players on the court, I think you're just going to win the best out of seven every single time.
Yeah, and Roy, we've said that before. Talent wins in the NBA. So right now, I'd say they're the favorites to win in the East.
Yeah.
And might think it might blow up. It still might blow up. I don't know. Personalities, who knows? But they have when they take the court, So I guess other than playing Milwaukee, all right, when they take the court, do they have the three best players on the court?
Yeah, including against Milwaukee. Yeah.
I'm not.
I don't know. Wait, Tatum, Kyrie, I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, they have three players that are better than what you have most of the time when they play, especially in Eastern Conference, except against Giannis.
Yeah.
So it's like they win.
I'm not disputing that. My issue is it's a shortened season already. Harden's coming in late. Kyrie hasn't even been there.
I don't think
you have a brand
a
new coach. I do think that it just takes time, and I think we're all crazy to act like they can just run out there and play pickup basketball and just understand what Nash wants them to do, or they will just do what they want to do and treat it like an all-star game.
I agree with you,
and
Christian.
I think it'll come back and bite them, Glenn. I'm not going to say they're not going to be good, but you know, all these games are won and lost in like the last 5 seconds.
I agree.
It's the last. We saw it last year. I mean, in this last playoff game, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, but I think you're bringing up a valid point when it comes to the regular season. I think people are going to laugh a little bit because there are going to be nights in which, you know, we've seen it before where Harden is 2-for-14 from 3-point territory, and they're going to struggle at times. But you tell me when they get into 4-7-game series and they're playing the same team every single night, and they have the three best players out there on the court, they're going to be able to exploit those other teams in a 7-game series. I'm with you. I still think something is going to happen wrong. I'm not convinced that James Harden is that type of player that's a winner in big, huge games. Great player, but can he win those big, huge games? I think we've seen it with Durant and Kyrie. I'm not sure with Kyrie either. I think we've seen that here, right? So to me, there's still a real question mark here. But when it gets to playoffs, I think they're going to be pretty damn good. JC is in Drake. JC.
Hey, guys. So I was looking at Bleacher Report, the top 10 trios of all time, and I think the biggest differentiator between them, like the big three at the Nets and everyone else, is you have three people who are soft that don't defend. And that's a huge difference there.
KD
Durant
defends.
I wouldn't put Durant in that category.
KD defends, and he's got the length.
He went to Golden State to win a championship. That's pretty soft.
Well, you said defend.
I mean, that's a different discussion. I mean, if you want to, it's like, you know, us trying to, you know, get stay out
of
the
politics. You want to talk about his burner accounts and everything else, but when you say he can't defend, I mean, his length defends. He's a pretty good defender.
I think it's more of a mental thing than anything.
Keep it to that. Yeah. Maybe he's soft. I don't know. Guy's got burner accounts.
I don't think he's firing
back at people. He's very sensitive.
Coming back from a major Achilles injury, guys, and he's playing at a really high level. I mean, come on. To me, he's the least of their problems. I think we've all experienced enough of Kyrie to know Kyrie's a load, and you have no idea what to expect from Kyrie. And James Harden has got some issues. You know, he hasn't won. He hasn't been able to cross that threshold. He had a pretty good player in Russell Westbrook, right? He was playing alongside a pretty damn good player, and he was unable to win. I would worry about. KD is the least of your worries, I think, with that team. David's in a car.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking the call. So I am very happy that the Celtics did not take James Harden. See, there's one thing about professional sports, and Lou and Christian, you guys played, you know, chemistry. You have the chemistry between the guys you have in Boston right now. You bring in an odd apple into the bunch, and that apple could ruin the rest of the bunch because they don't have the chemistry together, and that takes time. This is why Brady was so successful for so many years in New England, because he always had a chemistry of guys that they just worked well together. And I feel that the Celtics have that right now. These young guys, you know, don't be in a rush. It's obvious that Brooklyn wants a quick championship, and that's fine. That's what they want. Go for it. But I'd rather let's build a team that, for the long run, multiple championships. Let's not just get a quick championship.
Well, David,
let's
just say the Celtics have better chemistry than the Nets. Who's a better team? Team with better talent or better chemistry?
But
in the NBA.
Okay, that's a very good, Lou, quick, great question. But here's the
excellent
thing.
Job,
well, I think the Nets are better than you.
Are the Nets going to be a great team? We don't know that.
We also don't know they're not going to be, but if people just assume that they're not. Right? I think you're assuming they're not going to be. Because you're assuming their chemistry would be bad.
I'm saying that.
We'll see.
I'm saying the chemistry plays a factor, and they don't have it.
I agree, but here's the thing. Mm. You, like you just said, you're assuming they don't have it. Like, I think we all are. I'll admit it. Yeah, look at Kyrie Irving and Harden. I'm like, how the hell do these guys mesh? But we're assuming that. We have no proof that it's not going to work. We have no clue. It could. Like, I have no idea. But so they haven't played together.
It could be like they've been playing together forever. It could happen quickly. It could happen real quickly. So they should be able to work their way through the good teams. They should be able to beat the good teams. Like, the great teams, I don't know how many great teams are there. How many great teams are there in the NBA? Two great teams. Lakers are great.
Who's the other one? The Bucks?
I'm trying to say that I'd throw them out there. I mean, so really, there's one great team where you say chemistry, credibility, you know, championship pedigree, you know, been there, that whole thing. Like, that to me is the Lakers.
But the Lakers did a good job because they had two of the top five players. But beyond that, there was a huge drop off. They did a really good job of filling all of those other roles. And I wonder where the roles go.
There's a lot
here.
Of veteran pieces, too.
Yeah. For an example, look at an example. If I'm looking at this Brooklyn roster right now and I'm looking at the lineup or whatever, my guess is that Joe Harris is going to get a lot of daylight out there on the court.
Yeah.
Because why am I going to defend Joe Harris when I've got to defend the guys that are going to be dominant with the ball and I know those three guys? Harris is a guy that averages like 11 or 12 shots per game. By the way, shooting like 50% from three-point territory. And now he's going to get wide-open jumpers. Are they going to be willing to give up the ball for the better of the team to win the game to Joe Harris? Or is it all about those three guys getting their
numbers? Why would the defense leave Joe Harris, the second-best shooter in the NBA, wide open?
Well, because you're going to leave James Harden open, you're going to leave Kevin Durant open.
Everybody. It's a process of elimination.
You're leaving DeAndre Jordan and Jeff Green open.
Well,
I would rather have Kyrie Irving or James Harden be wide open at three than Joe Harris.
Well, yeah, I think I understand what you're saying around the three-point line. It's just that you're covering Kyrie's take it to the basket, or and you're afraid he's going to kick it out to Durant, I mean Harden, or Harris. So, I mean, it's you got to pick and choose.
Yeah,
and that's why I say it's just I think sometimes we do this all the time. Like, God, there's not enough balls to go around. And how many times has it ever failed? Like, how many times have we said that and it hasn't worked? I mean, we go back to Miami. You know, how many times have we sat there and said, it won't work because there's not enough balls to go around?
Yeah, it works in the NBA.
My problem with
this... It usually figure it out.
But it takes time, okay? And I don't think they have time. I think this is like a shotgun wedding. Hurry up and love each other. Hurry up and like each other. Hurry up. And more importantly, Glenn, respect each other. Like, I mean, I don't know where Harden falls on the kooky stage, the scale. You know, I don't know where he lines up there. I mean, he's got his own issues. And we're acting like, you know, he just had a couple comments earlier in the week about, you know, hey, we're not good anymore. We can't play anymore. I mean, people forget that this guy was out in Atlanta. He was out in Vegas while the team was in camp, shortened camp, but he wasn't there. When's he going to show up? Well, when he did show up, he was fat and out of shape. And he says he's going to play himself into
shape.
Yeah,
but I don't think that means anything.
No, and my point is that when I talk about the kooky scale, like where he lines up, like he's on there.
Oh, he is, but so wasn't Kawhi Leonard in San Antonio.
Different type of kooky.
He just quit on Pop. He just quit on his team.
Oh, yeah,
Anthony Davis doing in New Orleans last year?
I think you've got a question.
I mean, they're all kooky. That's what it takes to get out.
Well, listen, tell that to Deshaun Watson then.
This week,
well, there you go.
Gonna...
Be kooky.
Yeah, this week they're all going to say wonderful things. Oh, no, we're going to give in for this. We're going to do that. 2 months from now, 3 months from now, tell me how Kyrie feels. Tell me how Harden feels. Tell me how KD feels in them being part of all of this team. And then look at the other pieces. Forget about the offense then, Tyler. Let's look at the defense. Let's look at DeAndre Jordan. How many minutes at his age can he play? You know, you gave up Allen. You're giving up players that – complement what DeAndre Jordan does that allows you to play a guy like that for 18 or 20 minutes that can help you out. They're going to have to find those role players. So maybe next year in the offseason, you can attract those type of players. But right now, can you? Where are you going to get them from?
Buyout.
Yeah, you're going to have to wait. Here's House in Dorchester. House.
What's going on, man?
House.
Hey, I'm so happy that we did not get James Harden. The only thing I do wish is that we would have got in there to get somebody like Allen or Caris LeVert, you know, and if we could have gotten in and got one of them, that would have been dope. But I'm so happy we didn't get James Harden. And the fact that I know it's not going to work, that because you can see right now Kyrie gets mad at them players if they miss a defensive assignment. James Harden is going to miss a lot of defensive assignments. And Kyrie's going to throw attitude with him.
Yeah, I would worry about Kyrie leaving and suddenly supporting some candidate or something down the road. I think all of that
is possible. Danny get involved and somehow try to stake one of those two guys. I still think Indiana and Cleveland just kind of just sat on the sides and actually made out pretty well with both of these teams.
Well, the team that almost got him, that Ben Simmons was the one that was going to be on his way to Houston.
Yeah, apparently
that was the team.
Yeah,
they were prepared. He was prepared to be traded, pack his stuff, and go.
Yep, he's ecstatic.
Either way, it's a team in the East, so you're in the same boat.
All right, so Brian Scalabrine thinks there is a guy that was involved in this trade yesterday that could put the Celtics over the top. We'll get to that. This hour is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, locations in Dedham next to Legacy Place, and in Salem, New Hampshire, and online at northeastmenshealth.com.